All right. Hello, everyone. Happy evening. One thing I want to say is the fall retreat is coming up, which I know that you know. Next week, we will still have gentle healing. I will leave the fall retreat in time to come home and lead gentle healing. But the week after that, we won't. And in fact, you'll have a whole week without any homework. That will be easy to tell because either there won't be any daily updates at all because there were no new posts on the website, or if there is a daily update, there will be no Gentle Healing 3 homework. Let me look at my calendar just in case any of you guys want to, you know, run off to Hawaii or something during this time off. So the days that you will not have homework for Gentle Healing 3 are Wednesday, October 23rd through Tuesday, October 29th. So there'll be no homework on those days, and there will be no class on the 29th. But then on the 30th, when the daily update comes out, you'll have homework again. And then, of course, we'll have a class on the 5th. So one whole week off because of the fall retreat. Any questions about that? Okay, good. The other thing that I wanted to share with you is ever since that cyber attack, which really attacked the forum very heavily, we haven't been able to get the forum back working as well as it was before. I'm sure you noticed that. And Jacqueline and Aggie Michkowski and Jay McCormick are working on it. It's all way above my head, so all I can do is watch. Is anybody having trouble getting into the forum and posting? Okay. Well, that's what I told them. I told them, you know, don't stress. As long as we can get in and post and I can get in and read, you know, we're good. So I will tell you, Jacqueline is considering moving to another type of forum, but that's not anything that's going to happen very quickly, but something that's not so complicated, something that can be managed very easily. But I told her, as long as you guys can post and I can read, we're good. We don't need any kind of perfection. One thing you might want to do if you haven't been doing it already. Oh, Shauna says she found a quick way to get in. She clicks on the AT logo. Yeah, and I've been clicking on the home. You know, so I'm sure we're all finding our ways. Just click somewhere else and it shows up. But we're all finding our ways to get in. So that's good. If you haven't been doing this already, you might want to start keeping your journal in a separate document if that journal is important to you. Are you guys doing that? Are you keeping your journal like in Word too? Yay. I see Andy and Shauna said no. Is that what you said? Yeah. Tony said no. You guys might want to start doing that. I think Jay did a data dump a couple days ago. But if I was you, I would start keeping my journal. I would put the journal in Word, then copy it and paste it into the forum. Yeah, Ron says he copied his over last night. How did you do that, Ron? Did you find an easy way to do that? No. He was up all night last night copying his journal. Yeah, he says it took him 2 hours. So if your journal is really important to you, you might, while watching a football game or something, do something like that if you don't have it. His wrist is sore. Tony says hers are in a paper journal. That's great. Yeah. And we'll just watch and we'll see what happens. And so that's all of my special announcements, I think. Bye, Jacqueline. I think she stayed to see if I talked bad about her. That's all of my special announcements. So does anybody have anything they want to share before I jump into my collected stuff? Okay.
Regina, then I'd like to share.
Yes, who's speaking, Lynn?
Lynn, yes.
Okay.
Okay, let me just see if I can start my video. Okay, so.
Hey, there you are.
There we go. I just wanted to say congratulations on your article, The Meaning of Life, Happiness, Peace, and Love, in the Excellence Reporter. So I just want to quote you on this one because I really feel I want to share it. It is simple. Just make a decision that happiness, peace, and love is the purpose of your life and the only real meaning life could ever have. Then life itself will answer your call. So when you decided that you were going to take happiness and just make that your goal, I kind of tagged on, and I have to say it was the best decision ever. So thank you.
Yay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. You know, it's funny because when I was writing the announcement for you guys, you know, they have 1,100 people on there that have done this, most of which you have never heard of. But I was just scanning the list, just picking out names you would have heard of as I was writing the announcement. I'm like putting myself up there with Albert Einstein and all these other people. But they're names that you would recognize. You know, the most of the 1,100 you wouldn't have. But yeah, they got a lot of people who have written on that website. And it was nice of them to give me the opportunity to put something there too. So yes, Ron.
Want to give a shout out to the Supreme Yogi. He says, the mind seeks the self only in order to dissolve itself in the self. This is indeed the very nature of the mind. This is the supreme goal. He gives props to the mind. He's not trashing the mind.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was the moral of our teaching last week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it last week. So have you guys had a good week? No, I see no's. I see yes's. Susan's hand. Hand, you want to speak, Susan?
Yeah, I just wanted to ditto everything. You know, here we are on day 251, and I just... You know, this has become such a pattern of just sitting and contemplating and kind of nestling into the contemplation. And I noticed today with the Supreme Yoga that I was very comfortable in expressing myself, whether I was wrong or right or what was up or down. You know, it was just such a privilege to me to just sit and be with these two particular quotes and think. The mind was actually thinking, but, you know, knowing that it was okay, whatever I was coming up with was from wisdom and just sitting there and uniting in the contemplation of it all. And thank you, Regina, for all the follow through and the, you know, everything that you do to encourage us as well as, you know, design this curriculum. It's just been amazing, the progress being made. I was one of those that never talked during Gentle Healing 1 and kind of peeked my head out in Gentle Healing too, but now it's so freeing to be with this. And thanks. It's just a really unique experience. I'm going to miss that week when we don't have any homework, by the way.
Well,
what are we going to do?
I have a suggestion.
Yes.
If you guys really are looking for something to keep that contemplation time going up, I would go back and read your own journals.
Hmm.
Yeah. You know, that's what I get to do right now when I am contemplating with you is I'm going back and reading my old journal. And that's actually a pretty amazing experience. So you might, during the week off, just sit down in the morning and pick some stuff from your own journal and reread and contemplate what you've written. Yeah. All right. Nancy, did you want to share at all about your bad week? No, okay. Lynn said she had a busy week. I've also been very, very busy, you know, just still kind of recovering from the cyber attack because everything that was on my calendar that week got pushed out, right? It didn't get done. And then also getting ready for the fall retreat. So it's kind of a little sandwich period here where there's a lot of work going on, but it's temporary, I think. So things should be back to normal after the fall retreat. All right, then let me see what I've collected this week. So the first thing that I have in my notes is, quote, 798. It is enough to stop thinking and desiring anything but the Supreme. So that's quote 798. And what I have in my notes is that we go look at the RDA journal. So I will share my screen. So this is 798 in the RDA journal. How does one desire truth when truth is unknown to the mind? One does not need to desire truth with the mind. One does need to imagine and envision, which is mind's way of desiring. One does not need to think about and plan in the way mind does when it desires something it thinks it does not have. There is another way of desiring. One may simply be. One can be present with the coolness or warmth of the air. One can notice the present stillness, love in the heart, and rest devotionally there. One may reflect attention on present changeless awareness. These are examples of how to be with one's desire for truth. One may be with this desire always, regardless of current circumstances. There is nothing that can distract away from this desire when one wants, out of love, to be with it always. So what that really says to me is the best way to desire truth is to be consciously reflecting on awareness as much as possible, which is a different way of desiring, right? Typically, the way we desire, it actually has a sense of lack in it. You know, like there's something I don't have that I want, and that's what we call desire. And that actually isn't the way to desire truth, because first of all, you already are the truth. So if you're desiring it from a sense of I don't have it and I don't want it and I want it, I don't have it and I want it, I need to find it, there's an error embedded in the desire. One thing that this definition of desire that we saw in my journal, one thing that it's reminding me of is just being in love. You know, like if I am falling in love with someone new, right? But we are in a relationship. I don't desire them with a sense of lack, you know, like you do when you have a crush on somebody, right? When you have a crush on somebody that's not giving you attention, that's one kind of desire. But when you're in a relationship with someone, that's another kind of desire because they are right here. But yet I still desire to be with them, right? And and if we don't live together, I talk on the phone with them. I think about them while I'm showering. You know, they're always with me. It's not from that sense of lack, but it's just I just they're always with me. So that's the way we want to desire truth, by just always being with it. Are there any questions or comments? Another thing about that type of desire. Oh, go ahead, Jay.
So what I hear you saying is a present desire that is not bringing you out of the present moment, or a desire that's not bringing you out of a present moment into a sense of anxiety or worry, versus a desire that gives you that unease. I don't know if that's a good description of the difference I'm hearing between what you're saying.
Well, I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you. Are you driving or something? You don't sound like you're at home.
No, I'm driving to Walmart.
Yeah. I think I heard most of what you said, but I have to confess I wasn't able to make it all out. But But yeah, one word that I heard you say, Jay, that was really important was present. And that's what I was going to say next is another way that sometimes people think of desire. In fact, most of the time, the way people think of a desire is in the future. You know, like in the future, I hope that I have whatever, you know. And that's also not how we want to desire the truth. We don't want to desire the truth as something we hope to have or realize in the future. That's also an error because you actually already are the truth. You know, it's not in the future. So again, you just desire it by being with it. You know, like you desire a present lover by being with that lover, or even a pet by being with that pet, you know, and just spending time with them, or even your children, you know, anything that you desire to be with that is present, it's already here, and yet you still desire to be with it, right? That's how you want to desire truth. And at the same time, you do want that intensity to grow and grow and grow, because I think we all know that we forget to be with truth during the day, right? But let me ask you this. If you had a brand new, you know, sexy boyfriend or really hot girlfriend, would you forget to be with them? Probably not. We've all been there, right? You don't forget about them, do you? So what it really means when we forget to be with truth is that our desire for it is not strong enough yet, right? So we still want to increase that desire, but it's not a desire for a future achievement, and it's not a desire for something we lack. It's the desire to be with something that is present now. Any other comments? All right, then the next thing I have in here is 799. The idea of enlightenment is of utmost importance. Just to know that there is such a possibility changes one's entire outlook. And again, I have, let's look at the RDA journal, so I will share. And we'll go to 799A. Looks like I have more than just one here. When the desire for truth occurs, it is not an accident. It is a gift. It is a calling. It is as if the mysterious force of the universe has exhaled itself into different forms for the sake of tasting experience. And now it is inhaling again, calling itself back to itself for the sake of resting in remembrance. When you feel the call of the inhale, you can change your way of being. On the exhale, you were focused outward, and rightly so, because gaining experience was your God-given purpose. It was the purpose of the exhale. Conversely, when the call of the inhale occurs, you can turn your attention inward. So that's the journal entry. I think that it's a different perspective, and I think it's actually a truer perspective when we think about our desire for truth as coming from consciousness rather than coming from me. Right? It's not me that desires truth. It's truth that desires me. Right? It's a calling. And so we can just surrender to that calling, knowing that if consciousness is calling us home, it will bring us home. Now, yes, there are things that we're going to be guided to do along the way, like desiring truth, focusing on awareness, letting go of conditioning, etc. But I don't think we have to have the idea that that I have to struggle or I won't awaken, or that I'm not good enough to awaken. Because again, the call is actually coming from consciousness. You know, like we have been called. I think the Course says something like, everyone is called, but few choose to listen, right? But we're all listening. So we can have the confidence. As some of the quotes we've looked at recently have talked about how you need both confidence and desire. You know, if it's consciousness that wants us to awaken, we can have confidence that the awakening will occur. We don't have to worry about that, but we can cooperate in the calling. Any comments or anything on that? All right, let's see what I had next then. 801. Whatever name you give it, will or steady purpose or one-pointedness of the mind, you come back to earnestness, sincerity, honesty. When you are in dead earnest, you bend every incident, every second of your life to your purpose. You do not waste time and energy on other things. You are totally dedicated, call it will or love or plain honesty. And I do have in my notes to look at the RDA journal again, but I would like to just be with the quote for a moment because this quote makes my heart go pitter-patter, pitter-patter. I just love this quote. I fall in love when I get to, when you are in dead earnest, you bend every incident, every second of your life to your purpose. I love that sentence so much. I can't tell you guys how much I love it. I mean, you know, there were two incidents today that I'm aware of people losing it on somebody else, screaming at them, you know. If someone screams at you, the purpose of that is your awakening. So as soon as they start screaming at you, turn your attention within. You know, pay attention to what you're guided to do, whether it's, you know, watch your reaction to it or just shift into awareness or whatever. They're screaming at you, but you can bend that incident to your awakening. If you happen to scream at someone, that's just another opportunity to turn your attention within. It's just another opportunity to watch your reactions, you know, pay attention to awareness, bend every incident. You know, if you win some money somehow, you know, you win the lottery, maybe not the big lottery, but 100,000, that's still a lot of fun, you know. The purpose of that win is your awakening, right? Bend that incident to your awakening. Look within. See what you need to be paying attention to. Watch with awareness. See what you're guided to do with the 100,000, right? Instead of running to whatever the mind wants to do. If the stock market falls and you lose 100,000, same thing, right? The purpose of that incident is your awakening. So you turn your attention within. Again, notice what's going on. Notice what your guidance is. If you live your life that way, I don't know how to say this, the amount of purification that will occur, the amount of awakening that will occur, the change in your experience as a result of those two things, purification and awakening, will be amazing. But if you do not see the purpose of your life as awakening, you can go year after year after year without any meaningful change at all in your life or your experience. So when you are in dead earnest, you bend every incident, every second of your life to your purpose. You don't waste time and energy on other things. You are totally dedicated, call it will or love or plain honesty. Now I'll share my screen and we'll look and see what's in the journal for this. Is it difficult to be fully focused on a spiritual purpose? Is it a sacrifice to set time aside for inspiration, quieting the mind, contemplation, and meditation? Now, this is like the example I just gave you. Not if you are in love. When you are in love, you want to be with your love. Your heart rejoices in each moment that you are deeply entwined with your love. Oh no, this is not difficult. Oh no, there is no sacrifice in what some may call vigilance. It is all joy. The question has arisen. What if there are no benefits from all that spiritual practice? What if you spend all of that time in meditation and contemplation and nothing ever comes of it? But I say, does some future benefit need to be derived from the moments that I spend in silent bliss, holding and being held by my love? No, these moments are their own fulfillment. They are their own reward. What is this imaginary reward you seek? Be in love now. It is here now. Your reward is already upon you. Rejoice in it. So it's really about the joy of the journey. You know, I remember when I interviewed, I can see her face, I can't think of her name, the Sufi woman. Does anybody remember her name? Anyway, she's, Andy, you know, say that again.
Ellie Ruzdar?
Ellie Ruzdar, that's it. Yeah, I don't know why I've had trouble with her name lately. Ellie Ruzdar. When I interviewed Ellie Ruzdar, she was very clear. She said, meditation cannot be a chore. It cannot be a chore. And Michael Langford says that 1 hour of practice with the heart is worth more than 1,000 hours of practice with the head, which I think is his way of saying the same thing. So it is important that we're in love with our purpose. You know, it's important that we're in love with our moments of contemplation. And, you know, it's great that Susan didn't say, yay, a whole week off. She said, I'm going to miss it. I'm like, well, you know, go read your journal. But, you know, that's the way it is. Like, you don't say a whole week off from your lover. You know, you're like, oh my gosh, a week away from you? What am I going to do? I love you so much. I want to be with you every day, right? So that's how we don't have it already. We want to acquire that love for the truth. That's the desire. That's the intense desire that chapter four is all about, or step four is all about. Any comments or questions? Yes, Tony.
This is one of the quotes that I did like very, very much, and I did underline the same sentence that you had spoken about. And when you are in dead earnest, you bend every incident, every second on your life to your purpose. Do not waste time and energy on other things. And I just wanted to read what I had written for that day.
Please.
One pointedness of mind is a mind that is mature enough to recognize its only one true love and be drawn into it. A mature mind discards all other distractions that could swipe its attention from its one true love. Being with its love is the only desire, and it will not delay using any opportunity to reach its goal. Be still and quiet. Spend time looking and being with the one true desire of the heart. Recognize this love as the only love there is. Step back from self-centered, selfish personality and be with your only love. Observe where attention is being placed all through the waking hours. And when you notice attention is elsewhere, redirect this attention back to your true love.
Thank you. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah, that's the heart of it. That's gorgeous. Thank you. Anyone else want to share? It's fun falling in love, don't you think? Ron, go ahead.
Regina, I want to go back just for a second because I had to think about it for a minute. Your comment about consciousness wants us to awaken. Not to get too cerebral about this, but does consciousness need us to awaken?
Need. I would probably say no to the word need.
What word would you use?
Want.
Okay.
That's just me. Yeah. Well, tell me what you were thinking about it.
I get for myself, I kind of separate self with a capital S and consciousness. And to me, consciousness is kind of confused.
No.
I don't know. I think it needs us to actually, as kind of the first self, to then dissolving into the self.
Yeah.
For its own healing. I think we are bits and pieces of consciousness.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that probably I was defining consciousness differently than you in that moment. So I hear your point.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I think I was thinking more of, like they say, pure consciousness.
Which more self. Okay.
Yeah, more self.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, but I would agree that in order for that level of consciousness to awaken, to go back to the self, it needs. That probably makes more sense.
Thanks.
But either way, it's on our side.
Yeah.
You know, we get this impression that we have to fight and crawl and, it's on our side. You know, we have that assistance. We have that help. We want to cooperate with it. We don't want to resist it. Right? But we're not out here of our own little volition only trying to awaken.
I kind of consider it a best friend that has an addiction problem.
Thank you. Anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you.
All right, good. So let me see what I had next on my little sheet of paper here that I keep. 802. We are complex beings at war within and without. We contradict ourselves all the time, undoing the work of yesterday. No wonder we are stuck. A little of integrity would make a lot of difference. So I guess one thing I thought we might just chat about for a moment, if you guys are okay with it, is how do we contradict ourselves? How do we contradict our practice? Okay, Susan?
For me, sometimes it's as quick as just stepping off the cushion, you know, just being totally immersed in reality with a capital R, and then jumping into the world as if that's what it is. Right. And it's confusing, and it's rather debilitating when I look back at it and think, how did I let that happen? I let that happen.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I think it takes, at least for me, it took a lot of practice to learn to stay with awareness along with the busyness of day. A lot of practice. Any other ways that we contradict ourselves? Ron?
You know, just what Susan was saying, just, I think, just multiplied. I don't think we generally, not always, but generally, I don't think we purposely try to contradict ourselves. I think it's back to our human conditioning, the breaking the habit of being ourselves, back to what you were just saying. It took you a lot of practice or a lot of, to have this habit of staying in awareness. Cause I think there is a human habitual element to this, too. So it's just awareness, of seeing that, and then trying to, the word effort, I think, is I struggle with sometimes because I think that I look at this process more like quicksand. The more effort you put into it, the deeper you sink. That's a different kind of efforting, and it's maybe more, it's a slower chipping away as things become, you become more and more aware, wanting myself, desiring myself to have a dramatic shift or change, that's great, but I can't make that happen. I can't look in the mirror and say change.
Yeah,
you know, I wish. Nice. Change those habits. That's right.
Yeah, and I think that efforting is, although I hear everything the masters are saying, those types of words have never been really good for me either. I can feel that those types of words. When I effort, then it's becoming a chore. Like Ellie Ruzdar said, it can't be a chore. So as you guys know, the attitude that I have towards it, besides falling in love, which is what we're talking about tonight, the other attitude is playing games. So I play at awakening rather than work at awakening. That makes all the difference in the world for me. It's playing. When I'm playing and when I'm falling in love, it's something that becomes more and more a part of my daily experience, because I like to play and I like to fall in love. That's the language that I use with myself. That's the attitude that I use with myself. And it's been very successful. I don't know. I hear sometimes, I was looking at some quotes last night from The Importance of Practice and Effort, which is right there in the title. And one of the quotes used the word force. And I knew that, that type of language just is not successful with me because it makes me not want to do it. And I need to want to do it. Yes, Susan.
I had a thought.
Oh, wait, hold on. I just call on Susan. Jay, you're next. Go ahead, Susan.
I got you, Jay. When you talk about playing, are you talking about role playing or are you talking more about that lightheartedness of saying, I'm aware right now, I can let this go, I can allow this to just kind of float a little bit while I just kind of play with it?
It's the lightheartedness. And in fact, I'll give you an example of a game that I just now, some of my games have become habits, almost fun habits. I'll give you an example of a game that I just now played with Ron and just now played with you when you spoke. As soon as you started speaking, my mind said to itself, can I listen to them without thinking? See, it's a game. Can I listen without thinking? And then there's something in my inner attitude that wants to play that game. Let's try and listen without thinking. So it is. It's a you know, I mean, you could do the same thing in a work way, you know, oh, I gotta listen to them without thinking, you know, somehow I got to make this happen. That doesn't work for me. It's the lightheartedness, but it's still all the same types of practices. And in fact, you know, you may not remember, and maybe when gentle healing is over and you're looking for something to do, you can go back and listen to the end of the year two audios. But at the end, like in the last 10 minutes probably of every year two audio, I taught you guys an awareness game. And I asked you to play it that week. Those are the types of games I'm talking about. And in fact, those of you who are coming to the fall retreat, especially the first one, but even the second one, we're going to be playing awareness games. And you guys know that the first 2 hours of the fall retreat is going to be broadcast from the retreat house, right? So you'll get a little bit familiar with awareness games then. Jay, please go ahead.
Yeah, I was playing a little bit of a different game. Not like an awareness game. I do that sometimes too, but this was related to gossip. I chose very consciously not to gossip quite a number of times lately. And I felt in my mind a desire to want to talk about certain things. And I sat with that and realized it was ego. And in the past, I think I've typically erred on the side of talking more and being silent less in certain situations. And I guess the game I'm playing now and experimenting with is, what happens if I just remain silent and be with whatever is? You know, and it occurred to me that we don't awaken when we don't face something difficult. Because I've had several people talk to me about a difficult experience recently that they've had. And, it just occurred to me that that never happens, like globally. You know what I mean? Like, we don't awaken when we're not facing the ego. We don't. And the games we play to strengthen our presence and awareness is, I think, so important, because when those things happen and we choose to remain in awareness instead of engage in whatever the ego thing is, we weaken the ego. And so I see these games as really great helpers to weakening the ego and strengthening my rootedness in spirit. So that's what I wanted to share.
Thank you. Thank you. And I just played another game with Jay, which I'll introduce you to, because you can play it with me. It still involves listening. But with Susan and Ron, the game was, can I listen without thinking? With Jay, I played a different game, and the game was, can I hear this voice inside of me? Because typically, you know, the mind just assumes the voice is outside of me. Jay's somewhere, I don't know where he is, driving down I-25 or something, miles from me, right? I mean, the mind goes with all that. But when you listen to a voice, and again, you can listen to it right now to me, listen to the voice and notice the voice is inside of me. Now, the me in that sentence is awareness, not the body. But notice that the voice is inside of me while someone is speaking. So you see, that's another example of an awareness game that I play. And it's by playing these games all day long, it helps me to stay in awareness. Another game that I play, right now you can play it wherever you're at. Just kind of become aware of your peripheral vision. And, you know, keep your eyes looking straight ahead, but kind of become aware of the different things you see in the peripheral vision. And just notice that that is all within me, me here being awareness. Notice everything is in me. And just kind of put your focus on that it's all within me. Awareness, but you want to use the me word, because you want to connect to the fact that awareness is what you are. Right? We talk about awareness too much as if it's almost as if it's something other than me. Right? So you want to notice that it's within me, everything in my peripheral vision. And of course, you know, another great game that you can play whenever you want to is just noticing sensations within the body. Just bringing your awareness to the sensations with the body. It could be even what we would call positive or negative sensations. It doesn't matter whether it's a pain or a tickle in your heart, you know? But then again, after you notice them, notice they are within awareness. In fact, if you have time to stay with it, the sensations will kind of spread. Pretty soon the whole body will be felt as a sensation. And you can notice that the entire body is in awareness. The entire body is in me. I'm not in the body. The body is in me. And you just play these games all day long. You can play them while working. You know, you can play them while, I mean, I'm playing them right now while talking. And of course, you get better and better at anything you practice with, right? But it allows you, you know, you start to get a very strong sense that, like, this voice that I hear right now and this body that I hear right now, that I feel right now, that these are secondary and awareness is primary. And that's when you know you're really getting somewhere, is when awareness is primary and the body and the voice that you always identified with and the mind is secondary, of natural lesser importance. It's not that they aren't here. Not that if, you know, I have to pee, I don't get up and go pee, you know, or hungry, I get up and eat. But the awareness becomes the foreground. And the body and the person becomes the background. And it's playing these games, at least as far as I can tell, that causes this shift. As well as the more focused awareness, watching awareness that occurs, quote, on the cushion. In my case, of course, it's in a recliner. Right. Let's see what I had next. We were talking about how we contradict ourselves and we got off on that discussion. Does anybody else want to share any ways that we contradict ourselves? Shauna, did you have something you wanted to share? Is that forgotten now?
Sure. I found, like, even today, I contradicted myself from one moment to the next. I would have in the intention of being awareness, and then the emotion would come up and take me out of it. And then I remember, I go back into awareness, and within, it'll contradict myself 5 or 6 times in a minute or two. It was awful.
Yeah. Well, and that can become another fun game, is when an emotion comes up, watching the emotion. Now, again, I'm going to use Gina language because this is the way I play the games. You may have to convert it into Shauna language. But when an emotion comes up, I see the emotion as like a movie. And I watch the movie. You know, and emotions, if you really just sit and watch an emotion, it goes through a lot of changes. You know, and it moves in the body. And I mean, there's really a lot going on there to watch. So again, with the attitude of like, I'm watching a movie. And when I'm watching a movie, you know, I don't know what's going to happen next in the movie. I have great interest. I watch the emotion the same way. And then after a little bit of, and it changes your whole attitude. At least it changes my whole attitude about the emotion. It's no longer me feeling fear or guilt or anger. It's an event that I am observing. The me literally shifts in the process. Instead of me having an emotion, there's an event that I am observing. And so it becomes impersonal, no longer identified with, And I think also the emotions move through much quicker that way and then just kind of dissipate. Right? But again, it's a game. Watching the movie. And notice that if you're doing that, you're not taken out of awareness by the emotion. You're bending the emotion, like we saw in that quote, you're bending that to your purpose. You're using the emotion to be in awareness. I think sometimes, I know
can I ask a question about that?
Yes.
Would you say that this practice can be engaged in when someone is explaining or sharing an emotional thing with you?
I think that you can be in awareness 100% of the time.
Though, do you experience emotion in yourself when practicing this, or do you not feel any?
I do not feel near as much emotion as I once did, but occasionally an emotion still arises briefly. I primarily feel what people would call a peace level, even when someone's yelling at me. I'm usually just patient until they realize they were yelling at me.
Not that I want to test that, but go ahead.
Well, it's been tested recently.
Okay. Well, I'll choose to stay in awareness right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can be in awareness all the time. I know that we all forget and we all slip out of awareness, but there's nothing that has to bring you out of awareness. Right? There's nothing that you have to leave awareness to deal with. You can be in awareness at all times with whatever's happening. And that's really the goal. But if you're like me, you got to play at it, not work at it. But, you know, just like a kid, when you were a kid, did you get bored of playing with something that you like to play? No. So you just keep playing at it, right? You just keep playing, and you will get results, I promise. And sometimes those results are even shocking, you know, like the things that at some point that, you know, the things that happen that you have no reaction to, like, you know, you just maintain awareness, you maintain happiness, peace, love, and it's completely natural. You didn't do anything to maintain it. And you're kind of like, wow, I know that would have upset me at an earlier time, but there was nothing here. There was just being and watching and listening, and that was that.
Would you attribute that to your releasing your attachment to the outcome of the situation you're being yelled at about?
No, I would attribute to these awareness games I'm talking about. The more you play the awareness games, the more you will release outcome, but the releasing outcome is happening as a result of the awareness games.
Got it.
Releasing outcome is very, very natural because holding on to an outcome is insane. And you'll come to see that. That's like you're trying to predict the future and then make it happen. There's nothing sane about that.
Oh, I don't ever do that, Regina.
Yeah, Jay is a very future-oriented person. He's joking. He knows he is. I was too, though. I was a very future-oriented person. In fact, I even took a test once, and the results of the test was that I spent the majority of my time in the future. And that's just not true anymore. So, you know, all those things fall away. I am so clear that I have no idea what the future is going to be. It's funny because this is the time of year that we do planning. You know, I have to do like I do a light business plan. I never do heavy business plans because I think that's ridiculous because who knows. But I still do a light business plan. And then I have to do a budget based on that. And I have to take it to the board in the November meeting. And it's so funny because, I mean, I do it and I really do it, you know, with an element of seriousness. I mean, I do my best to do it. But I'm also so aware that I have no idea what's going to happen. How am I supposed to predict the donations? You know, how am I supposed to predict the number of people coming to the retreat house? You know, it's not true. But I do it and I provide it and then I find out what's going to happen. I'm never married to it. I'm never married to it. In fact, we were off budget on a couple things this year and in front of the board at one of the meetings, I think it was the August meeting, they asked me, well, where did you get this number? And I said, well, it was a wild ass guess. What else are you going to say? That's where I got it. You know, but there is a little bit of method to the madness, but nobody knows what's going to happen next year. Nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And I'm so aware of that, that it's really impossible for me to project myself into the future and be attached to an outcome, think I know what's going to happen like I used to. But, you know, if you're around me a lot, one thing you'll hear me say a lot is, well, all we can really do is live forward and find out what happens. Because that's the truth. But you're in awareness. Another cool game, by the way, and then I got to go. But if you get around a clock with a second hand, sit and watch that clock and watch that second hand move. Watch that time tick, 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 tick. And notice that it's always now at the same time. Notice that time moves in the now. That's a fun game. All right, I got to let you guys go. I'll see you next week, and then you get a week off. Bye.